for you, TLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Reaction to Ferguson isn't just coming from our community. It's coming from communities all over the country, including some prominent celebrities. On his Instagram, LeBron James wrote, "As a society, how do we do better and stop things like this happening time after time? I'm so sorry to these families. Violence is not the answer, people. Retaliation isn't the solution as well. Hashtag prayers up to the families. Hashtag we have to do better." That's the words of LeBron James. Kevin Hart, the comedian, said on Twitter, "Our justice system failed you. Moments like these remind me how scary it is being a black man in America." Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Scandal and Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder, wrote a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." On Twitter, Mia Farrow, the actress, says, "The Brown family asked that every police officer working the streets in this country wears a body camera," and then she gives a link to a petition for that. Cedric the Entertainer, who is from St. Louis, wrote on Twitter, hashtag Ferguson Verdict, "Prayers to hashtag Mike Brown's family and my city. Unwarranted violence will not help this situation. The family wants peace." And then the legendary Cher wrote on Twitter, "Have problem reference decision not to bring to trial police who shot young man near St. Louis. Something must be done to protect innocent young black men." Cher said that. 239-13. Let's find out what you have to say. Let me go to George. Hi, George. I'm sorry, not George. I've lost my track. Denise. I'm sorry. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Amos. So how are you?
So many callers, I lost track. What's
you
up?
You know, that's okay. I just called to make my comment. I'm devastated of the decision not to indict the officer. Because if you read his transcript, some of the things that they've put on the television, you know, some of the responses that he's had to the question makes me question whether or not he made a sound decision, or was he fearful that this was a black man standing in front of him that was taller than him or bigger than him. But what caught me the most was when he said that he went back to the scene. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. He mm-hmm. said that he went back. So when he went back to murder Michael Brown.
Mm.
And he knew that he could murder him. I don't think that Michael Brown knew the devastation that this would cause of us that remain here. But if this is devastating to my heart, but I hope that Ferguson realize and rally, their vote is the power that they have to get everybody out of office that doesn't represent or protect the citizens. And there are white people, there are Hispanic people who are upset, who are angry at the non-indictment also. So we're all one right now. The power of the vote. People must realize their power in voting.
Absolutely, that's my dear. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Rick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. Thank you very much for taking my call. First, mm-hmm. I want to say prayers are going up from me and my family and friends for the family of Mike Brown, mm-hmm. and we're praying for the whole city of St. Louis. I wanted to say I am a minister. I happen to be a white individual, white male, that attends an organization as a part of an organization that's comprised of mostly African Americans, and the comment that was made just before the break, and the lady that just made the comment now that there are others out there of other races also that are outraged is very true, because I happen to be one of those individuals, and I just didn't want to take much time, but wanted to at least put my voice out there to say that we cannot just rely on politicians. We can't rely on people that we just elect into office. That has its place, and we've got to get out there and vote. But we also have to rally together, and we have to stand for what is right, and we have to get together despite color, difference of a certain small viewpoints, but we have to get unified and stand up against this stuff, because there are so many things happening in our cities. We cannot allow it to continue. We have to get together. As white people, let me throw out there, we have to rally behind our African American brothers and sisters. We are all people. We are not different in the sense that we are separate creatures. We are all people with differences. And I tell people often, there are not two white people that are exactly the same. You can take identical twins. and there's something different between them. So we just have to rally together, and I want to encourage everyone that might be listening, rally together. Let's pray for the family of Mike Brown. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for this country, and let's get this thing back on track. Thank you, Amos.
All right. Drew, I think that calls for an amen from everybody listening. Can the radio show say amen? We got to get a sound effect that's one, you know, a big loud chorus of amen. We can work on that. Oh, I feel like we've done opened the doors of the church. Amen. Let me go to Minister Dennis McCray. Hi, Minister.
Hey, how you doing?
How you gonna follow Reverend Rick?
Hey, how you doing, Reverend Rick?
No, Reverend Rick, God, I'm here. What's up?
It's been all over Facebook today. It's been all over social media. I heard the man say, let's stop White Friday, let's stop Black Friday. What do we do for the other 364 days? it's more than that one day. Yes, they may trickle up a lot of money, but what are we going to do for the other 364 days? Because, you know, when the new pair of Jordans come out, they can get up like it's work day to go wait for the Jordans. You know, just because, you know, this happened, and it's a tragedy that this happened. But, all I have to say is it's our time to get closer with God.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Diamond at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, I'm speaking on behalf of the youth, and I feel like we still live in racist days with the police and white people, period. They still think that they're in control, and they control us, period. And I feel like the police should have got away with killing him, and I'm just thinking, who's next? Who next is going to happen to?
Let me ask you, since you're speaking for the youth, and I appreciate you were able to get through, how do you answer some of the other callers that say that young people need to show more responsibility and respect for law enforcement than Michael Brown when the officer told him to get out of the middle of the street? He should have got out of the middle of the street, and then this wouldn't have happened.
I mean, we should show more respect, but then again, if police come to us disrespectful too, and like the Bible said, people say in general, you gotta earn respect to get it, and they disrespectful, so us teens, we be disrespectful back with them.
Alright, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. We were trying to get as many perspectives as possible. Let me go to Deborah at 239-1310. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Amos, how are you?
I'm fine.
I just want to offer my condolences to the Brown family. And everybody in Ferguson, and everybody that this affects our community, your community, the African American community, even the white community. I am so saddened by the outcome of it. Right is right and wrong is wrong. This man took a life, and he didn't have to do that. And the people that are reacting don't have to do what they're doing. We are strong in number, but I just don't understand the racism of some police officers. I'm not going to say all of police officers are racist, but I have encountered a racist police officer, you know, many of them, you know, even to the point where I was assaulted and I called the police. Police officer came to my house, very disrespectful. He was trying to bait me. He threatened to lock me up. He didn't take a report, nothing. You know, it's been several times. I even called your show when Rick Heights was on your show, and I told him about an incident that happened here recently. Mm-hmm. He took my number down off the air, said he was going to call me, has not called me. It's a problem with racism. It's a problem with racist cops. And we as the community, we're not protected by that. And I'm not afraid of the police. I'm just afraid of the actions of the racist police.
All right. Good.
And I don't know what to do about something like that. I mean, if my hands are up, I'm defenseless, and I still would get shot, I'm afraid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think that's what the next steps are going to have to be to make sure that people like you that want to be law abiding, should not, you know, fear, that if you have your hands up, something negative is going to happen. I appreciate the testimony. Appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Pastor Michael Jones of Progressive Missionary Baptist Church is on our live line. Pastor Jones, I almost think Reverend Rick, you know, just closed out the church today. with his call, a couple of callers to go, because I think sometimes we forget when these things happen that there are scores, thousands of whites and Asians and Latinos and others who are supportive, who say that what happened in Ferguson was a travesty.
I agree. Reverend Rick is right. The problem is that too many people want to highlight the places where there are divisions and not highlight the places where we have clear places of unity and strength. And so, you know, that's kind of the way that it is. The devil is in the details, and the devil also likes to see destruction. And so the devil would rather highlight division than rather than highlight unity. Where there's unity, there's power. Where there's division, there's destruction. So, yeah.
Where do we move forward? You know, I'm hearing reports of some people gathering this afternoon on the Circle. I'm not sure who's organizing it. I think that's one of these social media things. That's the downside of social media is somebody can put up on a Facebook or a Twitter that they're doing something, and you don't know whether it's reputable or not. You don't know whether it's agent provocateurs or whether it's, you know, just ordinary concerned folks. But all that being said, and we're hearing, leadership coming together tomorrow in unity. But where do we go after the holiday? Where do we go after Black Friday, White Friday, and what have you, and we get into December and January and February?
Angus, we really have to begin to face reality in a harsh sort of way, and it's one of the difficulties that we all are dealing with. What happened in Ferguson is not just a miscarriage of justice. What makes it even worse now is it was a manipulation of justice. There was no trial. Actually, the trial was kind of done through the grand jury, and the puppet master was the prosecutor who represented the police more than he represented the people he's hired and elected to represent. So it was a manipulation of justice, and America still has to deal with the reality that we're stuck on and being slaves to the status quo, much of which is still institutionalized white supremacy. We have to deal with that, and everybody thinks if you say that, you're being an anti-racist or a black racist or whatever. No, we're just being realistic in dealing with the history of this country, and it has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with. So there has to be some changes systemically in terms of legislation, in terms of how and who we vote for, in terms of how and who we deal. Look, if you want to burn something down, what we need to burn down is these archaic laws that were written in a white supremacist world where the world is trying to change, but the laws remain the old ones. See, as much as things change, that's why they remain the same. Because the structures are designed to keep us in the past while people are trying to move forward. And you can't put, as Jesus said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You got to do it new. You got to do something new here. It's time for a change, and we got to make some systemic changes.
You know, in watching the dueling press conferences last night with the governor and the county officials of St. Louis and then eventually the county prosecutor, I got the sense they don't get along. It's almost like there was no unity going on among the establishment in St. Louis.
I can agree to a certain extent that there probably is not the unity that needs to be there. Certainly the prosecutor, I think, was, again, manipulating justice. I don't know where the governor and some others were standing, but the prosecutor, I think, was the gas or the match that lit the flame. Had he just simply said, look, there's going to be no indictment, I'm going to release all the documents, review them, and we'll have a question and answer period in 2 weeks, after you have a chance to review it, I think we would have done better than him getting up there and basically making the case for why the officer was right and everybody else was wrong and making everybody feel insignificant, unvalued, and horrible. I think he kind of added fuel to the fire. But that notwithstanding, even here in Indianapolis, I mean, you know, the press conference is going on tomorrow.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm not just the pastor of Progressive Baptist Church. I'm also the vice president of the Indiana chapter of the National Action Network. And, you know, if it's a community press conference, I wasn't invited, we weren't included. That doesn't mean there's no unity. I certainly will stand in support with the Urban League and what they're doing because I always have. Just letting you know, it's amazing how sometimes even our own institutions get co-opted. You have to be careful. When you dance with the devil, you end up getting some devilish ideas. So we'll see what happens.
I get the feeling you're getting ready to get a call real quick.
I would like to get one, but if I don't get one, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to stand in support of what's right for our people. But if a puppet master is pulling the strings rather than the leaders themselves making coherent decisions, then we'll see what happens.
Well,
if everybody's not at the table, then it's not really the kind of fellowship meal we're trying to have. That white pastor who called in before needs to be at the table too.
I'm with you when you're right.
He needs to be sitting right at that press conference.
I'm with you when you're right, my brother. I appreciate it. Reverend Michael Jones, as always, pastor of Progressive Missionary Baptist Church. Thanks very much for being with us. Let me go to Beverly at 239-1310. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, Amos. I called because one thing is the Black Student Union that has called the meeting that they're going to have tonight.
Who?
Downtown, the Black Student Union,
the
IUPUI.
Oh, they did?
Yes, the Black Student Union. It was on the news this morning.
Well, see, I wish the Black Student Union would learn how to contact all the media instead of just running to the TV stations.
Well, that would be nice.
That would be very nice because all I got was a couple of mysterious tweets, and a Facebook page of a group I'd never heard of before. If I'd have known that the IUPUI Black Student Union, that's a credible organization, great organization, they could have got a little help about the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
According to Fox 59, that's who was calling it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Fox 59. Okay. So it's going to be 5 o'clock on the circle.
On the circle.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that update. Let me go to Curtis right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I just want to make this comment and observation from this end. There's been an indictment and a miscarriage of justice, not just on Ferguson, but on the entire United States of America. I recall when I was in undergraduate school at IU and majored in criminal justice and constitutional law,
mm-hmm.
that the Supreme Court already has in place that no law enforcement officer shall withdraw his firearm and point it at another individual unless his life or the life of a third person is in imminent danger of life or serious bodily harm. Now, that means that the person has to, at the moment that they pull that firearm and point it and pull the trigger, that their life or someone else's life must be in imminent danger.
I believe that is that's the federal civil rights statute ABC's legal analyst, Dan, whatever his name is, this morning on Good Morning America was pointing out the tougher hurdle that the Justice Department is going to have dealing with this case because they have to meet that standard that you just talked about. Missouri law is loosey-goosey. So it is this, if the officer felt that he was in danger, they could do it. The way I was reading the transcript of Darren Wilson, and we're going to make the transcript available later today on praiseindy.com when we, you know, post the audio of our program today. One of the things I was struck by in just reading the officer's own narrative, nowhere in there did I see that he met the criteria for using deadly force that an Indianapolis police officer has to meet.
Exactly. And I recall one of the commentators this morning posting part of his comment about Michael Brown, and that comment was that when he fired his gun, he saw a demon.
Yes. Who calls people demons unless it's a vampire movie on HBO?
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
So here's this guy. He has a serious mental problem. And so that's not an indictment on all police officers. It's just those that walk around with the demented mindset of racism or some other factor that takes them out of reality.
He also described Michael Brown as Hulk Hogan. Come on, let's be real. Hulk Hogan is 90s. This is the second decade of the 21st century. What was it? Wasn't there a wrestling show downtown last night?
Well...
Now, yes. I don't think the Hulk Hogan ain't any of the wrestlers that wrestle anymore.
Well, you know, and that poses a huge question.
Yeah.
I recall reading one case in point where the police officer, this is years ago, not here in Indianapolis, but the police officer handcuffed a man to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly this man took his one arm, lifted the police car off the ground, slung it around, and whipped 6 other police with his free hand. And they actually got a conviction on him, man. So I mean, it's just the kind of things that we as a people, mm-hmm. I don't agree with the violence that they're doing. They're a small group. I don't think it's all of them. But there's ways we can boycott, we can protest, and we can voice our opinion, and we need to put leadership in the positions that are going to change and write the laws and make sure those laws are fair and equitable to everyone.
All right.
Not just a select group of people. And we got to do that. And that's the first part, Amos.
All right.
We got to do it.
Good point, my brothers. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. Zaps News. Davis will be back with more of your reactions to the decision in Ferguson and Hulk Hogan. Darren Wilson thought Michael Brown was Hulk. How out of touch is that? We'll be back after these.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Life.
All right, special edition of Afternoons with Amos, getting a reaction from our community. Back to the phones and Minister Jones. Hi there.
Hi, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, sir.
Outstanding. Hey, look, you know, I was listening to a number of your callers, and I was somewhat amazed that people were shocked by the verdict. I told my wife, I said, when they mobilized the National Guard and they said they were protecting, I mean, they were calling up more police officers and they were going through all these other antics. I told her then, I said, there's no way that this police officer is going to be found guilty because they did too much prior to. So I'm more apt to believe that they had prior knowledge. That's number one. Number two, if we look at the way things have been going since our president has been in office, it seems to have gotten progressively worse. Now, I don't know if that's due to social media. We're more aware of what's going on. But, however, it just seems that it has gotten progressively worse. I looked at the cases in New York where it's stop, frisk, kiss.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at that. So, you know, the Constitution states that government shall not impede the right of a person to travel or to move.
Mm-hmm.
So when these officers are stopping individuals, patting them down, humiliating men, kissing them in the mouth, and you do that all up under the name of justice. Giuliani said that if he had his way, they would have fired actual bullets into the crowd.
Yeah.
So they don't view African Americans as people, and that's not all white people, and it's not all police officers, but it seems to be the ones in power that are making decisions, and it seems a little chaotic in the way that things are moving. But I would say this in conclusion. It's amazing to me that we get on the radio, we complain, and we complain, and we complain. We have rallies, and we do all these other amazing things. But if you look at the way people function within government,
mm-hmm.
then you say, wait a minute, we're missing something. You look at Jewish Americans, when they came here, what did they do? They assimilated themselves into the culture. They became educated. They vote. And they worked their way into a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
And then they looked out for their own. Let's move now. You look at the gay and lesbian community. What have they done? They made sure they were educated. They moved their way into government as well as media. And now they further their agenda. What was amazing to me is they said that they estimate the gay and lesbian community at about 8 million people. But 8 million people are affecting change across the country. And so when I went to the polls, I was surprised that I didn't see as many of our people at the polls. But we say that we care about our community. We say that we care about our education system. We say that there must be a change. We say that we need to go a whole other direction. But, Brother Amos, we do not jump in the boat and start voting. And that's how we're going to affect change. Through education and through voting. And once we make it, once we make that known that we are a force to be reckoned with,
right.
and we move into the culture and we start affecting change, how is it that Ferguson is voting for this prosecutor goes uncontested for 10 years?
You know, that I can't understand. This guy gets elected. He just got elected. No Democrat ran against him in the primary. The Republicans didn't even run anybody against him. And this guy's just running over black. It's crazy.
Exactly. And when you look at that, you say, okay, what is the mindset in Ferguson? Have they been conditioned to believe this is as good as it gets? It won't get any better than this? But how many more lives do you have to lose before you say enough is enough? You know, I remember my parents marching with Dr. King.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother telling us stories how that their neighbor was hung.
Mm-hmm.
See, I tell people so many times, we're only one generation from that, or two generations from that. So why not take advantage? They say educate yourself. Then you start running. You know, you get into the political scheme of things, and then you say, I'm going to affect change this way. You know, and again, how can you vote someone in power and, well, not even vote, he just walked into power because nobody's contesting him, the Democrats, the Republicans, nobody. And so it's like this man feels I have carte blanche. I can do what I want to.
He sounds like that. He's the guy they patterned the TV series after. How to get away with murder? I gotta move on, Minister. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon. His name is back to the phones. And anonymous. Hi there.
Thank you so much. But you know what? I've been watching this from the very beginning. That's my town. I know what they were gonna do. When they came up and didn't know anything, that policeman didn't know anything about that young man and how he got cigarettes. But after all that went on, what did they do? He come up.
What? Did we blow the phone lines again? Is that what happened? Let me see if Don is still there. How you doing, Amos? Don, you're regular. You got 45 seconds.
Okay, I'm not going to be long. I'm glad the pastors are listening. This is really about black young men, and we don't want to forget that. So I encourage the pastors. They do a great job of recruiting women, you know, making fishers of women, but they do a poor job fishing for men. And that's what we have to do, Amos. And another tragedy of this situation is, you know, the guys that were looting in St. Louis,
yeah.
I mean, looting there,
yeah.
They're going to end up getting felonies. That's going to be the other tragedy. It's going to be another 100 guys that are going to get arrested, because you know they're going to aggressively go after these people now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got another 100 black men, young black men, that will have felonies on their records that will ruin their lives for the future.
All right, great points, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon. His name is Will. Take a break. Come back with more. Your reactions on the situation in Ferguson's afternoons with Amos on a very busy Tuesday.
Hi, this is State Representative Greg Porter, and you are listening to Indiana Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee Amos Brown right here on 1310 The Light.
Getting more reaction of our community in reference to the decisions in Ferguson. Let me go to Blake. Hi, Blake.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you, like, just my opinion on this whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the indictment, you know, and everything, it doesn't make any sense to me, because we make a big deal about, you know, when it comes to another race getting on a black person, but you never hear about black-on-black crime. And that's what I'm not understanding. Why is it such a big deal when another race kills one of our people, but when you see a black cop kill a black kid, you know, it doesn't even touch the news, really, because that's just normal.
Wait, when a black cop kills a black kid?
Yeah, like when a black cop kills a black man.
Okay.
It doesn't really hit the news as much as somebody from another race killing, you know, a black person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like that we should be able to make a big uproar. Like, why can't we riot against black-on-black crime? But they're burning towns and doing crazy things like this because of what? Like, what are we getting out of? What are those people getting out of burning a town?
Let me put it this way. There have been those kinds of reactions going back, in race riots after World War I, race riots during World War II. There was a very serious riot in Detroit where there was burning and looting, I believe, in 1943. You remember in your history books, the, riot in New York's Harlem in 1964, Watts in 1965. So these kinds of reactions where people get fed up they feel fed up and that the system doesn't help, and they lash out, and unfortunately they lash out in destruction in their own community. This is not something new. This has been going on in American life for decades. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right, but I think sometimes people think, oh, this is a new phenomenon. No, it isn't.
That's true, but why can't we get that worked up when it comes to black-on-black crime?
Do you listen to this show? There's more discussion on this show about black-on-black crime than any media in this town. And do you know what the biggest issue right now in New York City is?
What?
About a black police officer that killed an unarmed black kid in a housing project in New York about a week ago. And that officer is going to be charged with a crime because the officer was not following procedure. And that's a big deal in New York, a big deal. Black officer, okay. Black kid.
Okay. Well, it's good that they're, you know, coming down on him hard, but I'm just not understanding because, like, we'll still bring up, like, the Trayvon Martin case.
Uh-huh.
Like, when this case gets brought up, we bring up Trayvon Martin. But let's think about how many years ago that was.
About a year or two.
Okay.
And there have been cases going back to Emmett Till in 1954-55.
Right, but, yeah, I feel like Emmett Till and these cases are...
All right, good points, my sister. As always, 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Namus. Let me dial in Congressman Andre Carson. Congressman, first of all, I know you've been talking with your colleagues in the Congressional Black Caucus as well as the congressman that represents St. Louis. What is he telling you? What is he telling the other caucus members about the situation on the ground in St. Louis and Ferguson?
Well, we talked and he conveyed to us yesterday and weeks before that the situation was very dire. There was almost a generational divide in terms of the methodology and approach that should be taken. On one end, you had older leaders, older activists who were looking at demonstrating dissent through peaceful protests. And the younger generation tended to want to have more of a physical confrontation to prove their point. To that point, I think it was Dr. King who said a riot is the language of the unheard. And I think my generation and younger are outraged. I think there's a sense of injustice. I mean, if we even look at the fact that they failed to even indict the officer, don't even have a trail on Wilson's guilt or innocence.
Mm-hmm.
So he effectively walks away. And it's very, very rare not to indict. And I think just everyone trying to wrap their heads around, yes, we have a history of unfairness in the criminal justice system, but in 2010, the U.S. attorneys prosecuted over 162,000 federal cases,
mm-hmm.
and only 11 ended with no indictment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the DOJ is still investigating possible violations of Mike Brown's federal civil rights. So it's hard to see how me shooting an unarmed teenager not a violation of right to life and liberty.
Is it also, Congressman, is it also from your experience, you know, in law enforcement, in reading Officer Wilson's own description, and it's going to be interesting to see, evidently he sat down with George Stephanopoulos, so I'm sure ABC is going to run parts of that interview tonight on World News, on Nightline, on Good Morning America. It wouldn't surprise me if they preempt something tomorrow, and air that interview. I was surprised in reading. It seems like what police procedure did he follow? First, he comes up to the kid, then he lets the kid get in the car, then he thinks the kid is a demon, then he thinks the kid is a threat, then the kid runs away, and he gets out of the car and chases. It just seemed like there was a lot of procedures missing.
Yeah, you know, in law enforcement, there's a school of thought that is called the 1+1 theory, where you try to meet a subject with a verbal command, and if the verbal command is insufficient, you escalate it to more forceful commands, and that could escalate from, you know, physical touch to a taser to a nightstick, on and on and on.
Right.
But he missed many steps, and I think he missed the verbal jujitsu that is so important to being a police officer. I was a police officer very proudly. But I think that there's a space, there needs to be a space, Dr. Brown, and you've always been at the forefront of this, in really redirecting our agenda,
mm-hmm.
Black agenda, Latino agenda, the larger community's agenda in terms of dealing with the tense relationship that the African-American community in particular has with the law enforcement community that really dates back not only hundreds of years, but particularly to J. Edgar Hoover's leadership with the FBI.
I know the family of Michael Brown, through their attorney a couple of hours ago, is starting to press for a law to require cameras on all police officers. Do you know whether they're trying to do that federally or going to try to do that with each of the states? Congressman, did we lose him? I tell you, AT&T, we'll try to get the congressman back. 239-1310, just got a statement from the Indianapolis branch of the NAACP. They write, this is from Crystal Radcliffe, the president. They're deeply disappointed in that the grand jury did not indict Darren Wilson for the senseless and tragic death of Michael Brown. Their prayers go out to the family, friends, and neighbors of Michael Brown's senseless death of yet another African-American at the hands of those sworn to protect and serve the community where he lived is heartbreaking. The Indianapolis branch of the NAACP, bringing it now locally, is calling for IMPD's continued cooperation to include fair treatment of our citizens and accountability of its officers. We're calling on the community to act collectively and calmly until we secure justice for the family of Michael Brown. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Anonymous right quick. You were cut off?
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried it and got back in anyway.
I think everybody's trying to call.
Yes, but you know,
real quick,
with the whole thing, this was a setup. It's like you're saying it's going to be good for the policemen to have a video right there. They're going to still fix them up the way they want to, just like what they did with this. I've been with this and watching this from the very beginning. Was nothing wrong with that policeman. He didn't get hit or nothing else. And he shot and killed that boy because he thought, well, maybe they ain't going to do nothing, no way. But look at all the rest of the people that were watching also and how they have took it and took those videos loose, put them together the way they wanted to, tried to readjust it to make it sound good, and that's all they're doing. We knew that he was going to walk away.
All right, good point, my sister. I think we've gotten Congressman Carson back. I'm going to have to talk to AT&T because I get the feeling I have flooded, the community has flooded their entire telephone system today.
Sorry about that, Dr. Brown. We got cut off. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, hey, everybody's trying to call in today.
Okay.
I think when we got cut off, I was asking you, are you aware whether this effort to try to put cameras on every police officer, whether they're trying to do that federally or in the different states?
Yeah, I know that the local municipalities have tried to deal with this. There have other the legal scholars have mixed views about this. I think that if an officer who's not working undercover or who's not in a special circumstance should probably do it when they're making a traffic stop.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to police officers who are mixed about the approach.
Yeah.
Because of course it opens up other legal issues, but for me, I don't think that it's unreasonable for a police officer to have a camera on his or her person during a traffic stop.
In terms of moving forward here, I talked with Tony Mason, the new head of the Indianapolis Urban League, and we had a number of callers that called concerned about, you know, dealing with youth. In terms of moving forward, is it not just working with law enforcement, IMPD, sheriff, state police in improving police-community relations, but is it also really starting to implement some of the recommendations or all of the recommendations of the Your Life Matters Task Force that was issued last week? To deal with the problems that young African-American males face?
I think that is something that should be taken into consideration. I think that we are missing a lot of important tools, like many of these recommendations, to really move our community further. Of course, there are systemic and generational issues that we have to deal with that a typical police agency or sheriff's department would be limited in dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost unreasonable to put that on them, but at the same time, I think that we come from a generation that is fatherless, and when you don't have that kind of modeling, and young people are crying out. These folks are geniuses. They're brilliant. They just need the kind of nurturing to bring out and hone that genius in a productive way, so we could see our next Amos Browns, our next Oprah Winfreys, our next Bill Gates, and so on and so forth.
All right, Congressman Carson, always good to talk to you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Lynn right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. My comment was on the pastor that spoke with you earlier.
Uh-huh.
I agree with him 100%. We as black people, we sit back, we talk, and we complain, but we don't teach our children that it's education that's going to make a difference in our lives. We always want to make comments or complain about things that are happening. But like he said, you have the gay community. They came together, and they made a change over the whole country. And they doing wrong, but they making a change. But we as black people, instead of educating our kids, telling them to get out there, black people need to get out and vote. Come hell or high water, you have to vote. Our people died and suffered to give you the right to vote. We died and suffered to give us the right for education. And our kids take education as if it's a joke. We have people that comes from other countries into our country, and they thrive on the education that we can give them.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we do as a black people? We sit back, we complain like the thing with the schools. This thing been in making before Farabee came in. But instead of we showing up at the meetings and protesting against that happening, we wait until it happens, then we try to do something about it. Now all of that doesn't mean anything because it's a done deal. Like the thing of Ferguson, they're rioting and tearing up your own neighborhood, what is it going to accomplish? The baby is still dead. The child is still dead. The policeman is still off. But you have torn up your community to show that you're what? Animals or what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has served no purpose. But if you get an education, teach our kids to go to school. Teach them how important education is. Teach them the history of black people. And have them to become a mayor, become a judge, become something famous that you can make a change the right way. Then we can get some results. But until then, all we're going to do as black people, sit back and complain and riot. Yes, we've had other riots before. No, it's nothing new. But what did it accomplish?
Right.
It accomplished nothing.
All right, great points, my sister. Let me go to Dave right quick at 239-1310. Dave, you got 45 seconds.
When's the NAACP meetings?
Yeah, well, first Thursday of every month, which will be next Thursday, December 4th.
All right, I hope all the listeners and our audience can come out, and if they can't make it to the meeting, become members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi.
Hi.
Can this case be taken to the Supreme Court?
No. First of all, this was a grand jury. The purpose of a grand jury is to see was there enough evidence to bring it to a regular trial. They elected not to do that. Now, the family has the right to file a civil suit. That is a suit for money, for a wrongful death suit, similar to the suits that were filed against O.J. Simpson. They have that right. There's a different standard. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a preponderance of evidence.
Okay.
They can go that way. The federal government could file a civil rights charge against Officer Wilson for operating illegally under the color of law.
Yeah.
So he could do that. Or the family could do that. So they still have some legal options.
Right.
Okay?
I have something else to say.
Real quick.
People need to get saved.
I do not disagree with
that. They need to get saved, and they need to act like they're saved. That's the bottom line.
All right. Boy. That's it for today. We'll probably do more of the same tomorrow, though among our guests tomorrow will be the folks from the Madam Walker. They've got some activities that are coming up next month and on Dr. King Day in September. So we'll talk with Kathleen Walker, the Walker, to start the program out, and then we'll continue on in reaction to Ferguson. Later on this evening at praiseindy.com, we'll not only post our program today, in case you missed some of it, but we'll also post the complete 87-page testimony of Officer Wilson. So you can compare what he said in the testimony before the grand jury to whatever he's going to say with George Stephanopoulos on ABC News over the next 18 to 24 hours. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.